Hello! Our sermon for today will be Belief Comes from the Heart. Today, we will start in Matthew chapter 22, looking at verses 34 through 40. Again, that is Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, as we look at our sermon, Belief Comes from the Heart. Matthew 22, 34 through 40 says, But when the Pharisees has heard that he put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We are told that we shall love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Do we love God more than anything else? What are we willing to do for God? Do we need spiritual CPR? First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm sorry, chapter 11, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 11:30 says, For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I believe they are not talking here about physically weak, physically sick, and physically sleeping. Although, since they are talking about a church service, many people do sleep. Some have good reason, some just are deciding to be that way. Many are weak and sickly. But here I believe it is talking about spiritual death, spiritual dying, spiritual weakness, and spiritual sickliness. A moment ago I asked the question, do we need spiritual CPR? Are we so sick spiritually that we are on the verge of death spiritually? Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 22. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 22 says, And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and had need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Be thee either hot or cold, but not lukewarm. I will spew thee out of my mouth if you are lukewarm. Where is your passion which comes from your heart? Where is your first love? Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, fear none of those things which thou wilt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Let me repeat that last part. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Is this not what we are working for? If we are faithful unto death, we will receive the crown of life that we are working for. Therefore, be thee neither hot nor, be thee neither lukewarm or cold, but be hot. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart will see God. If one does not have a pure heart, they will not see God. Remember it said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, the entire chapter, says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Our hearts need to walk in the light as he is in the light. Not only do we need to know his word, but we need to live his word. We need to put his word in our heart. We need to stay far away from the shadows. One of the problems that we have in this country today, among the many, but this is a different one, in America today, we have many people who cross the center line and cause accidents. For many different reasons, it happens. My point on this is merely to say we need to stay as close to that outer line as possible, not to the center line. Because like the accidents we are having happen, we will run into trouble if we stay on that line. If we try to make a tightrope out of the line between good and evil, chances are we will fall into evil. We need to continually confess our sins to God and receive his faithful forgiveness. In conclusion, we should do everything possible to have and maintain a spiritually healthy heart. Our spiritually healthy heart will lead us by creating a desire to follow God fully and in love. Our heart needs to be in the light and fed by the light. We need to be on fire for God. We need to be hot for God, on fire for God. If you do not know God or your heart is spiritually ill, we would love to teach you how to have the peace that lightens your load and lightens up your life. Salvation can be yours. Act now before it is too late. You can come to our website, ChristChurchBC.org, and find more information. You can give us a call at 803-834-8074. And we can help you find Christ. Wish to tell you a story before we end today about a professor and a student. The professor asked the student, "You are a Christian, aren't you, son?" And the student replies, "Yes, sir." "So you believe in God?" "Absolutely, sir." "Is God good?" "Sure." "Is God all-powerful?" "Yes." The professor said, "My brother died of cancer, even though he prayed to God to heal him." "Most of us would attempt to help others who are ill, but God didn't." "How is this God good then?" The student was silent. The professor continued on. "You can't answer, can you? Let's start again, young fellow. Is God good?" The student agreed, "Yes, God is good." The professor asked, "Is Satan good?" And the student answered, "No." The professor asked him, "Where does Satan come from?" And the student answered, "From God." "That's right," the professor said. "Then tell me, son, is there evil in this world?" And the student answered, "Yes." The professor said, "Evil is anywhere, everywhere, isn't it? And God did make everything correct." Student agreed. "So who created evil?" The student did not answer. So the professor continued, "Is there sickness, immorality, hatred, ugliness? All these terrible things exist in the world, don't they?" The student answered, "Yes, sir." "So who created them?" The student did not answer. "Science says you have 5 senses you use to identify and observe the world around you. Tell me, son, have you ever seen God?" "No, sir." "Tell us if you have ever heard your God." "No, sir." "Have you ever felt your God, tasted your God, smelt your God? Have you ever had any sensory perception of God, for that matter?" The student answered, "No, sir, I'm afraid I haven't." "Yet you still believe in him?" The student answered, "Yes." according to empirical, testable, demonstrable protocol, science says your God doesn't exist. What do you say to that, son? The student answered, nothing. I only have my faith. Yes, the professor said, faith. And that is the problem science has. The student decided to ask the professor some questions. Professor, is there such a thing as heat? The professor answered, yes. And is there such a thing as cold? The professor answered, yes. And the student said, no, sir, there isn't. The lecture theater became very quiet with this turn of events. The student continued on, sir, you have lots of heat, even more heat, super heat, mega heat, white heat, a little heat, or no heat. But we don't have anything called cold. We can hit 458 degrees below zero, which is no heat, but we can't go any further than that. There is no such thing as cold. Cold is only a word we use to describe the absence of heat. We cannot measure cold. Heat is energy. Cold is not the opposite of heat, sir, just the absence of it. You could hear a pin drop in the lecture theater. As the student continued on, what about darkness, professor? Is there such a thing as darkness? The professor said, yes. What is night if there is no darkness? Student said, you're wrong again, sir. Darkness is the absence of something. You can have low light, normal light, bright light, flashing light. But if you have no light constantly, you have nothing. And it is called darkness, isn't it? In reality, darkness isn't. If it is, well, you would be able to make darkness darker, wouldn't you? The professor says, so what is your point you are making, young man? The student says, sir, my point is that your philosophical premise is flawed. The professor says, flawed? Can you explain how? Sir, you are working on the premise of duality. You argue there is life and then there is death, a good God and a bad God. You are viewing the concept of God as something finite, something we can measure. Sir, science can't even explain a thought. It uses electricity and magnetism, but has never been seen, much less fully understand either one. To view death as the opposite of life is to be ignorant of the fact that death cannot exist as a substantive thing. Death is not the opposite of life. Death is the absence of life. Now tell me, Professor, do you teach your students that they evolved from monkeys? The professor says if you're referring to the natural evolutionary process, yes, of course I do. So the student challenged him. Have you ever observed evolution with your own eyes, sir? The professor shook his head with a smile, beginning to realize where the argument was going. The student said, since no one has ever observed the process of evolution at work and cannot even prove that this process is an ongoing endeavor, are you teaching your opinion, sir? Are you not a scientist, but a preacher? The class was in an uproar by now. The student continued, is there anyone in the class who has ever seen the professor's brain? The class broke out in laughter. As the student continued, is there anyone here who has ever heard the professor's brain, felt it, touched it, or smelt it? No one appears to have done so. So according to the established rules of empirical, stable, demonstrable protocol, science says that you have no brain, sir. With all due respect, sir, how do we then trust your lectures, sir? The room was silent. The professor stared at the student, his faith unfathomable. The professor spoke and said, I guess you'll have to take them on faith, son. And the student said, that is it, sir. Exactly. The link between man and God is faith. That is all that keeps things alive and moving. Let me tell you something. The student is somebody you might have heard of. His name was Albert Einstein. But let's look at his point. His point is that our link with God is faith. We have not seen God. We have not heard God. We have not touched God. We have not smelt God. And yet, we can touch the tree, the birds, our own arm. We can smell all of the smells that God has created. We can hear the birds. We can hear the rushing water. We can see the waterfall. All these are things that God has created. Maybe to help our faith be stronger. As I was talking about earlier, we need to put that faith into practice and make sure that we are following God's word to become the Christians that God wants us to be. So make sure that you are right with God and that you're on the path to receiving that crown of life. Thank you, and until next week, may God be with you.